Hello and welcome to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being sponsored by Ghostbed. Russia is claiming that the terrorist attack, which took place on March 22nd and killed 143 people in Moscow, is somehow orchestrated by the Ukrainian government, specifically the SBU. But ISIS also claimed responsibility for the attack. So how could any of that be possible? Well, to understand who's telling the truth, we're going to have to look at the facts as we know them and as they were presented to us. But we have to start the story well ahead of March 22nd. As a matter of fact, we got to rewind the clock to March 7th, when the United States government actually told Russia that there was an imminent threat of a terrorist attack inside of their country. Now, on March 19th, Vladimir Putin dismissed the warnings as provocative statements, and he further went on to state that they resemble outright blackmail and the intention to intimidate and destabilize our society. Now, those statements didn't age well for Putin, because on March 22nd at 19:50 or 7:50 p.m. for you U.S. listeners, the terrorists entered the building and opened fire. At about 8:03 p.m., they entered the music hall and set it ablaze. Then at about 8:13 p.m., they left the site. They left in the same vehicle they arrived in and proceeded to drive away. Now, just a few hours later, at about 2300 or 11 p.m., somebody spotted these terrorists speeding down a roadway. Those terrorists were later apprehended by Russian security services almost 400 kilometers south of the incident location itself. Shortly after the attack, ISIS released a statement claiming responsibility. And when we talk about ISIS, we're specifically talking about ISIS-K, or ISIS of the Khorasan province inside of Afghanistan. Now, just recently, the director of the Russian FSB, Alexander Bortnikov, came out and he made a statement. He says that while the attack was conducted by ISIS using radical Islamists, they were facilitated by the security service of Ukraine, as well as the United States and the UK. Today, we're going to be looking into that statement. We're going to be looking at what the possibility of that actually would be. Further, a lot of people have been pointing fingers at Russia, saying this reeks of the Russian FSB, and that a lot of things aren't adding up. And I tend to agree with them, and we're going to talk about why. Now, these terrorists were apprehended about 400 kilometers south of Moscow. And according to Russia, they were attempting to flee into Ukraine. This led the Kremlin to point fingers at Ukraine and the SBU, stating that they were behind this all along. Now, Russia has a problem, and particularly this coming out of Belarus. You see, Russia is claiming that they were intending to flee the country and get into Ukraine, and that the SBU was behind the entire thing. However, today, the Belarusian president, Alexander Lukashenko, actually said that those terrorists originally intended on heading into Belarus after the incident. Lukashenko says, "We placed our units on high alert to prepare for a combat situation. As a result, they were unable to enter Belarus by any means. Recognizing this, they diverted their course and headed towards the Ukrainian-Russian border." I'm going to state it again. These terrorists were detained slash arrested about 390 kilometers south of Moscow near a town called Topli. Now, that's in Kursk province. So I was curious to myself, based on best estimates of what I could find, how long would it take somebody legally driving to reach that location out of Moscow? 390 kilometers, that's a long distance. Well, Google Maps would tell you that it takes approximately 6 hours and 42 minutes to get to the general vicinity of where they were apprehended. However, we know from the timeline that it was no more than 3 hours later that they were actually apprehended in that location. Further, if you were to take Lukashenko's statement into account and say that it was the border security inside Belarus that caused them to shift direction, now we have another problem. We have more time that's hacked off. So were these terrorists even apprehended in the location in which they said? Now, they could have been hauling butt all the way down, but that would have drawn attention a little bit sooner, I feel like, from any of Russian law enforcement or military personnel traveling down those roads. Obviously, the entire country was on high alert. So where, in fact, did these terrorists actually get apprehended? Because if it takes 6.5 hours just to get to the general vicinity driving legally, even if I was hauling butt, I would expect it to take, I don't know, 4? If I went over to Belarus, it would take even longer. So is the location even made up by Russia just to state that they were headed towards Ukraine? That's a very good question. Further, we can go back to the incident itself and say that at 19:50, we know that they entered the building and they immediately opened fire, and they were inside of that building shooting for 13 minutes before they even entered into the music hall and started shooting again, at which point they set it ablaze. They left the building at 20:13. That's to say that these men were on the ground for 23 minutes. That whole place at that point in time should have been secured by law enforcement and government officials, and anybody fleeing that area should have been apprehended. But yet we have four people that wandered out and managed to make it past all of the security service that they had on the ground at that time, 23 minutes after the attack launched. It's kind of mind-numbing to think about that these guys did. Well, then they must be really highly trained operatives because the SBU, according to Russia, had to have trained them. But in videos that I'm not allowed to show you on this podcast, we can see that those ISIS fighters inside of the building, when they had weapons malfunctions, they weren't even able to quickly assess and correct those malfunctions before continuing on with their rampage. Further, I have a video of the Russian security forces actually capturing one of the ISIS fighters. And as they're beating him relentlessly and just beating him, kicking him, punching him, everything else, the guy's crying like a little girl curled up in a ball, covering his face. And I can tell you my experience from dealing with detained ISIS fighters that they're not like that. Now, I've dealt with the Taliban. I've dealt with ISIS. I've also dealt with Al-Qaeda. And out of all those groups, of all the terrorists that we've actually detained, captured, not a single one of them showed an ounce of weakness. They didn't start crying. They didn't whine. They didn't do any of that. So between those two things, we can look at this and we can say that these were not well-trained terrorists. These were not guys that typically ISIS sends. Further, they didn't stay there and die for the cause. They left for monetary reasons. So I have a question whether or not ISIS even funded these guys or even paid for this to happen and how they even ended up claiming responsibility. And they somehow magically teleported themselves 400 kilometers away from Crocus after trying to get into Belarus. So there's a lot of questions we have just in that overarch of a story, not to mention the fact that somehow these untrained gentlemen were able to slip past Russian security service and leave the area. Now, when these terrorists got brought before the court inside Russia, some of them were beaten so severely that they were unconscious. As a matter of fact, in a very famous photo, you can see a Russian being wheeled into the courtroom where then Russian officials claim that he confessed to the crime that took place on March 22nd, where he murdered and took part in murdering over 143 Russians. However, how convenient is it that these gentlemen were beat to the point where they are unconscious? It's actually rumored that that guy had his eyeball cut out. So how convenient is it for Russia that these men are unconscious? If those terrorists were in fact heading towards the Ukrainian border to link up with the SBU, then that means the SBU had to have been coordinating with them ahead of time. Now let's explore this for a second. If the SBU did in fact plan this attack on Moscow, why did they send such untrained guys in order to do it, and then ask them or tell them to flee back to Ukraine to the border crossing, which would directly point fingers at them? You wouldn't want an extremely untrained person conducting an attack such as this in order to get you dimed out. And you surely wouldn't want a person who, when you first start kicking, the moment they're captured, they begin crying like a little girl. They would have been ruled out firsthand. Further, the SBU would have given them more advanced training on how to legitimately cross the border and travel undetected in order to get there safely. Once they're out of the area, there's no need for them to be speeding. That's just going to draw more attention to them. In the distance they traveled that Russia is claiming, they would have had to be doing excessive, far excessive speed above 85 miles per hour, which Russia states they were doing, which is what drew the attention. So again, we have more inconsistencies. Why would Ukraine hire untrained people to conduct this style of attack and pay them out and then have them flee back to their border? None of that adds up. None of it makes any sense. Why didn't Russia act faster and actually isolate the incident and keep them in the hall? And further, how did they get the hell out of Moscow without drawing attention to themselves? How did they even leave that general vicinity without drawing attention to themselves? Why would Putin ignore numerous intelligence reports that tell him that this was about to go down? Why wouldn't their security be on much higher alert? I know if I was having a concert while all of this was going on, while I had all of that intelligence, I would think security levels would be elevated, particularly with everything that's going on inside of Ukraine. They'd had people swatted up and ready to go in the event that something like this went down. But that's not what happened. Those terrorists were on the ground for over 20 minutes, shooting up and killing over 143 people before burning the building to the ground, and then magically slipped out in their vehicle where they did a 6.5 hour drive in under 3 hours while heading towards Ukraine. That's what Russia wants you to believe. Now, we all remember the little green men from when Russia originally invaded and annexed Crimea. But what if I told you there's a new style of little green men, and they're called the little blue men? Now, these men are reportedly to have been inside of the Crocus Hall, and we have videos and photographs to prove it. Here on our podcast, we love talking about people who we adore. And when it comes to getting a great night's sleep, we really love the folks over at Ghostbed. As a family-owned company with over 20 years of experience, Ghostbed knows a thing or two about crafting the perfect mattress. They use only the most durable, supportive, and long-lasting materials so that you can trust your bed will provide you with years of excellent sleep. What sets Ghostbed apart is their signature and patented cooling technology. You can say goodbye to those restless, sweaty nights. Every mattress keeps you cool and comfortable so that you can sleep like a dream. When you purchase a Ghostbed mattress, your comfort is guaranteed. With their 101 night sleep trial, you can try it out risk-free and experience the difference for yourself. Plus, they offer free shipping and most items ship within 24 hours. Visit ghostbed.com/rob to save 50% off site-wide. Ghostbed offers high-quality mattresses at a fantastic price. Their number one seller is the Ghostbed Lux, which is designed with premium memory foam and cutting-edge cooling technology that reacts and adjusts to your body heat as you sleep. Or if you prefer a more hybrid feel with both foam and coils, check out the Ghostbed Flex Hybrid for the perfect blend of comfort and support. And if you need any assistance along the way, Ghostbed has a team of dedicated sleep experts ready to help you find the perfect mattress. They'll guide you through the options and ensure you make the best choice for your needs. Ready for a more comfortable night of sleep? Then visit ghostbed.com/rob. And because we're all about sharing the love here on the Speak the Truth channel, use code ROB and save 50% off your purchase site-wide. That's right, 50%. Now, here is just an example of some of the gentlemen we're talking about. Here, the little blue men are seen wearing blue jeans and long sleeve blue shirts. Surprisingly, the same men were at the scene when these terrorists were detained, again, almost 400 miles south of Moscow. Here you can see them wearing the exact same uniform. And what AI supposedly has now confirmed is that this gentleman's face that was sitting inside of Crocus is the same as this gentleman's face right here. Now, one guy sitting inside of Crocus that happens to look like another guy would just be a coincidence. But what if there is numerous people like that dressed inside of Crocus? Here in this photograph, we have four people who are outlined and reported to have been inside the music hall at the time. And you can see them. They're all wearing the exact same thing, blue jeans and long sleeve blue shirts. You might ask yourself, why would they do that? Wear the exact same thing? Well, it makes it very easy. If this is in fact the FSB, it would make them very easy to identify each other. And at the same time, they're able to blend into a crowd. But why would the FSB need to be inside of the music hall at the time of the attack? I mean, if the FSB was inside of the music hall and a terror attack was going down, you would expect them to react and start shooting. I mean, these are very good gunfighters. Going along with this conspiracy theory, I was attempting to think of a reason why the FSB would need to be inside the building as this was going down. I mean, it would present several problems for the FSB. Number one, they could get shot. I mean, that's the biggest thing of it all. Who is to guarantee that the terrorist doesn't shoot an FSB agent? Also, their fingerprints would be all over it because of photographs like I just showed you. And the only plausible explanation I could come up with, in my mind, is if those terrorists failed to complete the objective for some reason in the last step by burning it to the ground, and essentially to cover up evidence, that the FSB agents would then do that. However, I have another theory. We asked, how is it that they were able to slip out and run away so quickly? Well, what if the FSB actually caught them and drug them out and then moved them 400 kilometers south, set them free, and then filmed a video of them capturing them and beating them in the woodline? So is it plausible that Ukraine actually conducted this attack? Well, based on all the information I just presented to you, my answer is no. I don't think Ukraine would risk getting caught doing such a thing and escalating the war further, giving Russia more ammunition to use larger and bigger weapons and create larger attacks on populated areas inside of Ukraine. Further, when we look at this, there is no way those terrorists received any training whatsoever from any formal government agency. They didn't know how to work their AKs. It's being reported by Russia that they were speeding several hours after the incident, drawing attention to themselves, and that they were heading straight for the Ukrainian border. That's what Russia says. But how could that be? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Then we have Lukashenko that comes out and says, no, they were in fact heading towards Belarus. And because of our heightened security, they turned around and they were heading south. But on top of all that, we have terrorists who got captured who are crying like little girls who had little to no training. None of this adds up at all. So the question would be, what would be the motive for Ukraine in order to stage such an attack? Well, Ukraine wouldn't have a motive in this. I mean, if they got caught, the risk definitely doesn't outweigh the reward. if they got caught doing it and Russia had absolute undeniable proof, Russia would hold up a piece of paper and say Ukraine's working with ISIS. Now the United States is supporting ISIS. Then that opens up, why would Russia want to do this? What would Russia be motivated by in order to conduct this attack on itself? You know, on my morning show, when I was talking about this, I had a caller call in who has some experience in Ukraine, and she had a very good theory on it, in my opinion. Last week, Russia's defense minister, General Shoigu, announced the opening of two new brigades that he plans on filling by the end of the year. Now, by best estimates, Russia would need at least a 250,000 troops in order to fill the ranks of these two new brigades. Over the last several months, it's estimated that Russia has lost well over 100,000 troops along the front lines. And Russia is only able to recruit around 10,000 troops a month. So where would Russia get the new recruits from? Well, just like we saw after the attacks on 9/11, we had a huge boom in recruiting here in the United States of America. When you look at the terrorist attacks that just happened inside Israel on October 7th, they had dual citizens flying back from all over the world just to join the IDF. So if somehow Russia was able to stage a major terrorist attack and blame it on ISIS and guarantee that those people were going to be protecting the homeland, would they then be able to get over 250,000 troops to fill the ranks? The answer is it's highly likely. Now, the last possibility would be ISIS conducted the attack, and there's nothing shady about this whatsoever. ISIS has been at war with Russia for quite some time, and not only has Russia been fighting them inside of Syria, they've also been fighting them in Africa, recently sending Wagner after them. Further, ISIS has targeted Russia in the past. On October 31st of 2015, ISIS claimed responsibility for blowing a Russian passenger jet out of the sky over the Sinai Peninsula after it took off from Egypt. ISIS clearly has an issue with Russia. It is very possible that ISIS conducted this attack all on their own without any outside influence whatsoever. If that's the case, why weren't they better trained? Why didn't they know how to use their AKs? Further, why did they get motivated by money? That's not ISIS's MO. That's not ISIS-K's MO. Also, why were they like weaklings? Why would ISIS send a weakling into Russia to conduct this attack? Why would they be seen beaten and crying on a video? None of that makes sense for ISIS's MO. The only thing that is for certain about this incident is things just don't add up and we don't have all the answers. Likely, the future is going to tell who was behind this. If Russia uses this as an excuse to launch a large-scale attack on a NATO country or on Ukraine or on the United States, well, boom, there you go. We now have it. Then it would be pretty clear at that point that it was orchestrated by the FSB. One thing is for certain, Ukraine absolutely has no reason to do this. The risk doesn't equal the reward that they would get out. As a matter of fact, I don't know what reward they would get other than sowing more fear into the Russian people. Ukraine has drones for that, and they've been doing it very well. They've already proven their ability to attack Russia on their home soil, knocking out numerous oil refineries over the last month. There's no reason for the United States to get involved in this and open up the possibility for Russia to attack the United States. Further, it would be a giant stain on America to make that happen. And none of this shows a professional intelligence operation. Now, Russia needs to answer a lot of questions. Why was it the Kremlin ignored the security warnings by the United States of America? Further, why didn't Russia increase security at this event? Also, how was it that these guys were able to be on ground for over 20 minutes without being interdicted by any Russian security force whatsoever and then walk right out the door? And last, how was it that they were able to drive a 6.5 hour drive in under 3 hours without getting noticed until the very last minute prior to them being apprehended? None of that makes any sense whatsoever. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I hope to see you guys next time. Don't forget to join me for our live sessions at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and 9 p.m. Tuesdays through Thursday. Peace, love, happiness, and God bless, ladies and gentlemen. I'm out of here.